Welcome back, Lakers, to our second episode of the school year of our Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Carlos Martinez, and like always, I'm joined by
Megan Rickson.
Our guest today is a GVSU professor. Dr. Adrian Wallace is assistant professor in the Grand Valley's Advertising and Public Relations Department, but is also a digital strategist and project manager at Black Truck Media and Marketing. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for inviting me.
I'm doing all right. So should we call you?
I'm also an alum.
Three times.
My show notes failed me.
Oh my goodness. So what what were the three? Undergrad.
Undergrad was HealthCom in advertising and public relations. I have a grad degree in my master's in communications and then master's in public administration. And at that time there was like a, it was public administration and government relations. And now I think it's a little bit different program, but in this very building.
Wow, what do you know? And then you went somewhere else for the PhD.
Yeah, I got my PhD from Western last September. It's just about a year.
Congratulations. So,
yeah.
It's still fresh.
It's very fresh.
Yeah.
So I don't have my students usually call me doctor, but I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll use it. That's right.
I know. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
I paid for that. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And even more than money, though, it's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. 5 years. What I tell people usually is 5 years, 50 pounds, $50,000.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the freshman 15.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like much.
Oh, because you have much to everything else. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Goodness. And,
so yeah, so that's my commercial for everyone. Go get their doctorate.
Sounds so obvious, but
it's funny. It brought something to mind.
Yeah,
this was a little perfect example of personal branding, which is today's episode, right?
Yeah.
So we did a basic introduction.
Sure.
But there's a certain way that you're marketing yourself, right?
Right. So there's always a story to be
exactly
told.
And you're telling us about yourself, but that also helps establish you as an expert because. Sure. Part of those undergrad and some of those graduate degrees focused in this field.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty cool. So a personal brand, why is that important?
Well, I think if you asked, 10 people, you'd get 10 different definitions on what this even is. In my opinion, the importance of personal branding in general, I don't necessarily think you need to like have a logo and all that. I mean, some people go to that degree, but having a personal brand is just one way, by which other people identify you and come to know you and what your maybe work ethic is or what your where your talents lie. And it's important because you need people to rely on sort of, I guess it's sort of like a stereotype, honestly, in order to understand what it is that you bring, what the value is that you have, and what they can expect from you time and time again. So it's, one part... who you are, what you are, but it's also what you'll actually do, and how, those results will be achieved and what people can rely on. I can't oversell the importance of being exactly who you say you are and doing what you say you will do.
Sure.
Whatever you want to call that is fine, but that's essentially what comprises a personal brand.
And that's key, right? Because it's not just about creating this fake persona to... you a job or an opportunity.
Sort of that's how it kind of started, though. If you want to think about the evolution of personal brand, it's really like what did you want people to know you for? But then I think, people see through that.
And we have so many opportunities now advertising. To let people see through it.
Absolutely. Right? It's, and in public relations, we're always talking about like transparency and authenticity. And I think all of those things lend really well to the discussion at hand, which is, are you the kind of person that does what you say will do? And it used to be, like who you knew and who was willing to do stuff with you. And now it's who's willing to do stuff for you because you're doing the right things.
Okay.
So it's definitely kind of evolved, I think, especially as social media has become more transparent and more every day. It's not, you can't just like put up a sign and say that's who you are. You actually have to do it now.
Sure. So my question with that, since you brought up social media, we when we're talking with students as career advisors, we're saying, put up, privacy is good in terms of social media, but where do you stand on that? Is it better to just be an open book to every audience, or should you try to cater
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
I think it depends a little bit on like the industry that you're seeking to maybe practice in later.
Yep.
I think that it depends on who you've been publicly until this point in your life and who you want to be as you progress through your career. This whole like where students will have like this like fake account and then like a real account, like we see through that. I mean, like it's hiring people that are hiring or hiring agents. You know, we notice that kind of stuff. And honestly, in public relations advertising, I would go so far as to say marketing and most communications driven majors for career. If we don't see it and see that it's active, we're going to ask the questions like, why don't you? Or are you hiding something? Or, you know, are you trying to be less than honest or earnest with us? And we'll start asking those questions. And honestly, I think it's way more uncomfortable to have to answer those questions in an interview setting.
Yeah.
For example, than it would be to just not be a jerk. Don't be a jerk on social media.
Right.
And so if you can't separate, I guess, that, then I think you kind of don't deserve to have that job that you're really looking for to be a communication vessel for another brand or person. So privacy, I mean, do we even really have privacy? I don't know.
That's the thing. I feel like that has been changing
but
so much.
But my husband so astutely pointed out to me last night when we were talking about this, he works in PR too. But I said, you know, I don't understand what's the big deal of just being who you are. And, you know, I've always been a like what you see is what you get kind of gal. But I also know that that's not OK for everybody. And that, you know, I'm not going to maybe go work in a government situation where I would have to be very conservative or for a conservative company. Like, I'm probably not ever going to do that.
Right. That just wouldn't be a good fit.
Right. Yeah. But also I you have to know yourself. So. As you're sort of building who you are as a person, this branding thing doesn't have to be so like overt. Like it doesn't have to be something you're like, okay, step one, must get all, you know, it doesn't have to be that like stiff. You know, I'll go back to like the simplicity of it is like, you know, do what you say you're going to do, be exactly who it is that you are. But I think people are really uncomfortable sometimes with that because they want to be something different maybe and show people this like fancy or like sparkly exterior.
I
don't know.
So do you have any advice on how you kind of
you can only hold that so far.
When you're in college, you're figuring out so much about yourself. So do you have any advice on like what would be that almost pre-step one?
I was just doing an exercise. We have my first night of classes was yesterday in my capstone class, which is where we bring in, we actually bring you guys in and you do this like really great professional development portion for us. And in my first class, I always start with how do you solve problems? Something really basic, right? Like you think like, oh, sure. Like I know how I do that. But if you have to draw out the process by which you solve problems yourself, that's actually a lot. Like that's kind of a lot to think about. And I don't think we give ourselves the latitude to really discover how it is that we do things or how it is that we process things or even really thinking anymore because we're a doing society. And so looking at that kind of holistically, I feel like you have to really put some time into understanding who you are, what kind of employee you might be, what kind of environment might be good for you. Because when you first graduate, I mean, really kind of the what's on your mind is like, just please don't let me have to sleep in my parents' basement for the next 6 to 8 months while I'm trying to figure out how to make my student loan payments. And so really taking the time to just be reflective of, you know, things that make you happy, but also the things that you think really suck. I mean, I think that's a valid list to hold, too. And really understanding who you are, what you stand for, what you won't stand for. And I think kind of really taking time to digest that from freshman year to senior year. And then beyond, obviously you're not like the whole person that you'll ever be after you, right after you graduate college. I think it does matter. And I don't think we take the time that we deserve or owe to ourselves to really make those gains in understanding who we are. And you do evolve. I mean, people evolve. Do they change? Like one day you're this, and I don't think so. I think people are pretty good at, you know, showing you who they are. But I think over time you become a different version or maybe like, you know, a different level of, self.
Upgrade yourself a little bit.
You know, a lot of times when I have students even in advising hours, I find it really interesting because the conversation that we start with is, I need some help with my classes. But the conversation we usually end up having is what are the things that I like and don't like, and what am I willing to do in a class or in a group, or what am I missing? It's not usually, you know, it's not, we're the people business, right. You know, it's education and we're delivering education, but it's people helping people. So
absolutely. I feel like we see that a lot. In our work. Sure. Everybody comes in to talk all about their resume.
Yeah.
And it very rarely ends that you're just only for talking sure. about no. and like I, a line on a resume.
And I really respect that about places that understand that. It's not just about the words on the paper, right? It's about the people and the feelings behind that.
Yes.
So I really admire that about you guys here.
Yeah. Good.
Now, I feel like we should be giving you the praise, but you're here praising us. I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, I'm really.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take it.
I have a lot of respect for any institutionalized service. I mean, that you know, that's what we're all sitting in. That allows you to come back after you've graduated. I mean, this is like forever. You don't just leave this campus. Yep. Some places charge for that. Did you know that?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you know that. You know everything about careers, I'm sure. But someone was telling me that they got kind of bad advice from one of their friends that was an alumni from another state institution, which we will not name on the show. But and they said that they charge for the service after you graduate. Yeah. And I was like, Grand Valley doesn't. No. And then I was like, wait a minute, I better look into that before So I like looked it up. I was like, no, they don't charge for that. Right. And, you know, I mean, I don't think you probably would love to get more people to come back and have that sort of touch point with you.
Right. I mean, it's great because we get, of course, the alums coming back who need help, who are making a change or something happened and they they need some assistance. But I mean, overwhelmingly, we have alums coming back who want to give back.
And even beyond wanting to help, it also fits nicely into the university's claims of Laker for a lifetime.
Totally.
This is one of our little ways of trying to fulfill that, right? So kind of have our values and our actions match up with what the university is claiming to be the public brand, right? Because there's the action piece, but there's also what you proclaim.
Yeah, and before we had like a marketing campaign about Laker Magic, I mean, we always talked about like the Grand or the Laker Effect. We always talked about the Grand Valley Magic. Like that's been a thing for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I think that that's just part of it is that despite being, I mean, we're bigger than Western in student population, as I understand it. And despite being like a fairly good sized institution now, we still have the perks and benefits that we had when I was an undergraduate at like, I don't know, like 8 or 9,000 or maybe 10,000.
Yeah.
You know, the buildings have changed, but except the two I am usually in. But that, you know, it really matters, I think, for just seeing like tradition and value and not just saying those words, but really making that happen, I think is really important.
Now,
that's the brand.
That is the brand. It's
Grand Valley's personal
brand. Your comment a couple minutes back reminded me of something. When you say, you know, We might still be the same person at the core, but we'll evolve our perspectives, our angles. And a question that I get when I've talked about branding or personal branding in classrooms would be, well, what about my prior post? I have no idea what I posted junior year of high school. I have no idea. I'm a senior now. Who in the world knows what I was doing as a freshman on social media? And so what I always share with them is, you know, there's different strategies that I might recommend. One, some people will just start from scratch, delete whatever that old profile was. It's the internet, so in some way, shape, or form,
it's somewhere.
It's good to assume that it's live somewhere, but that's a good tactic.
Right.
There are some filters where you could search through old posts and kind of manually start deleting them or updating them if you want to.
Yeah.
How do you approach those type of questions?
Well, I mean, there are lots of good ways to do that.
Yeah.
I think there are two different categories of things. Silly things that children do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that
dumb,
everybody did
dumb
as kids.
Things that you post. Yep. And then there's like horrible things that should probably have never been posted, which I hope nobody I know falls into that category, but I'm sure that exists.
Or perhaps expressing a viewpoint that you really don't agree with anymore or something.
Yeah. I've seen some very, I don't know, I would go so far as to say wildly inappropriate student contacts and student content. And one, I mean, I think it's important to talk about that. Like, are you that person? You know, like, what does that mean to you? What did that mean to you? Was that an accident? Did you feel, you know, what were the circumstances beyond that? The other thing to know is like, it's pretty rare unless you're running for maybe public office, that someone would go back years.
Correct.
Right.
It would be very rare. Now, if it was something really heinous, racism, I mean, there's like a lot of things that fall into that category, right? And I think you should probably, like you said, abandon ship and start new, with a new, fresh sort of brand. Or you go in and selectively, you know, change those things. But that doesn't, just because they're gone from your account doesn't mean they're deleted from the the history of the internet.
Exactly. Even Snapchat that tells you it's deleted in 24 hours. Yeah. People,
screenshots exist. I mean, there's all sorts of things that exist. And people are very
and they will friend and they will friend official Grand Valley Snapchat accounts without realizing that now that Grand Valley
has access
institutional account is seeing what they're posting.
Yeah, we should definitely have another episode on just like terms and conditions of social media.
Now we've all seen at some point an article somewhere on the news, somebody got fired due to something they posted online. But there is the flip side to it, right? For those folks who decide, hey, I'm going to make it public, but I'm going to be intentional with it. I have a friend who made a post online that went viral. It was a political post.
Yeah.
But it didn't impact her job. And in this case, actually got her some paid speaking engagements. And so it created a new lane for what she thought was her former personal brand, where now she's public speaker. And it's something she's been developing. And so again, it's almost like a double-edged sword and it can be used, you know, with great powers, great responsibility. Yeah. How are you going to use that access that you now have to the world?
Right. I think that something that has not been taught well in, let's say, I don't know, whenever students are children and become social media engaged, and that could be their parents taking pictures of them and posting them, which is going to become a thing. Like, it's going to be a situation soon when...
Right.
That becomes a little bit more, I don't know, out there in terms of privacy. We haven't really had that discussion publicly yet. It's coming, though. But the other thing is, like, we didn't train them. Like, we gave them these tools and we set them free and we thought everything would be okay. And it turns out you don't make very good decisions when you're, like, let's say in elementary school about certain things, right?
My daughter's 6 and asked me for a YouTube channel last week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What'd you say?
What I told her is, if we make one, I'm not going to tell her this part. Every video will be private.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. And so the only thing is we'll send a private link to family.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the only way.
That's reasonable.
That's a great creative outlet. If
we did that, you just gave me another teaching moment. We'll start talking about what we post online.
Right.
So now I can incorporate that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't put that online or we don't say these things.
No. Or if it's something, you know, a lot of times I just, you know, again, that goes back to that deep conversation that we just aren't having with people anymore about issues or topics. I was just having a good conversation with my colleagues from another university. We do some research together and he and I were talking about like just civil discourse in general. And we just don't do a very good job of that because we've gone straight to name calling in any capacity, whatever party you represent in any space. There's an example of that. And I just don't think we have really thought about the true permanency of the social media history, you know, we were always threatened when I was a kid with like the permanent record. This is going in your permanent record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that a file? Was that in a cabinet? Ooh, where did it lie? Great. Who has it? Who's the owner of my permanent record? Okay. It turns out like Google is. Google is the owner of your permanent record. It exists. Gosh. So like really kind of considering, you know, taking time to not just be reactive and to be more, you know, reflective instead of reflexive, and just thinking about that before you post. I mean, that has to become part of, you know, who you are now. That's all part of your identity. However you choose to slice it. That's just, it is what it is. As my dad would say.
You know, at least the final little piece I'd add on when it comes to the online brand, that it can go beyond social media, right?
There are
people
who
create blogs and that's part of their brand. There's people who might write articles for a newspaper or an online digital, you know, publication. And those are also ways that you can build it for yourself intentionally. But moving forward from the internet. So in the real world, what are some real world ways that you communicate your brand or that people start envisioning you in a certain way?
And I think, I don't know, I think a lot about this because I feel like I have a pretty decent network in Grand Rapids and beyond. And I only moved here like 9 years ago. So I lived, you know, not far. I was on the lakeshore. But that was a whole nother network of people, and such. And so when I got here, I mean, I didn't really have a network. So when I started here, and I think, what does that look like from, you know, from starting from scratch? And part of that is like, people have to trust you and take your word for something. People could like look through your history maybe and see what you did in another area if you're like moving states or maybe regions or something. But it, again, I'm going to go back to do what you say you're going to do. Have the integrity to manage that part of it. And West Michigan is one of these unique places that honestly people are pretty trustworthy and trust also both sides of that. And so typically if they say something will happen or they're going to do it, they do. That's not the like probably true for other parts of maybe the world or even the United States. So I think that it varies. We're still kind of small towny, even though I think sometimes we think we might be Chicago, but we're not. So I think, you know, just really being diligent about making forging, you know, connections that are true, not just going out and like spraying the town with like, you know, wanting to get more. I think like we're to the point of where the number isn't as important as the value of the relationship. So instead of having, you know, 10,000 LinkedIn contacts, maybe have like a few thousand good ones like that you can really go to and that would really come to you to provide value, because it's not popular. And like being popular doesn't mean anything. I almost just swore. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Trying to keep it clean here, kids. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It really is, what value do you provide and how can you help somebody, and then how can they help you? People like helping people. That's like part of who we are as
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that goes hand in hand with the idea of networking, right? It's about building authentic relationships. That's the way it should be approached.
Yeah, transparent, authentic. I mean, the hallmarks of, you know, PR professionals are the same that you would want to build normal relationships in general, not just with like your business network, but with people.
You know? Yeah. So what do you recommend to the students you're teaching in terms of building a network and how that connects?
I mean,
to
first you have to be visible, just show up, you know, some of that is just showing up. I think there's a lot, I think I'm seeing a lot more students with a lot more anxiety about social interaction and engagement.
I'm seeing that too.
And part of that is, not having to do a lot of face-to-face engagement, at least meaningful engagement. I would say transactional engagement is still pretty high. You go to the grocery store, you go get gas in your car, like you're going to always have that thing. But doing so with a purpose, you know, being intent driven instead of, you know, instead of trying to make more, try to make better, I guess, connections. So if that means that you're seeking a job in like marketing or public relations or advertising, you know, you have professional organizations that foster those relationships organically and as a result of the membership, just who they are. So like AMA, Ad Federation in town, and then West Michigan PRSA. And those are good starting points, right? So they're already like, as Seth Godin would say, your tribe. They're your people. So they already understand because they've gone through the same journey that you're on. And they're on the other side of it. And so the best card to play is your student card. Hi, I'm a student. Usually you can just shut up after that, because especially people in communications driven industry, which is, you know, what I can speak to the best, are willing to tell their story and share it with you and to help further what your goals are. And I think that's like a just such a beautiful thing about, you know, this idea of mentoring people and relationships and like giving back to younger generations, is that you did this once. So what was it like for you? And a lot of times, like I said, the student can walk up to a professional. I've seen this a million times and, you know, happen in real life where they're just like, I'm a student at Grand Valley. I'm a junior. My last internship was at, you know, Experience Grand Rapids or something. And then it's almost, you know, like bingo after that. It's like, oh, do you know Stephanie there? Or do you know Dave there? And it just sort of like, you know, moves and moves. The other thing is to really kind of invest in what the alumni base is at your own institution. So very regularly, I'll have a student that's like, I'm looking to work in public relations in a hospital. And then I will say, okay, go through my LinkedIn and find, you know, five people that you want to be introduced that have jobs that you want. And then I'll make that connection for you, so it's not a cold call. Of the people I say that to, like, I don't know, 10% do it.
Actually follow through.
Right. Right. And I mean, those small connections, just a person saying, I know this person and sort of vouch for them, or they're looking to learn more or to do more and they want to be like you. I mean, who wouldn't think that that was flattering or a great starting point?
Of course.
Hardly anybody that I introduce people to say no. If they do, they say no and pass them on to somebody else as a means, like, I can't right now. This quarter is super hectic for my life. Or, you know, whatever. But like, my colleague works in media relations. How about that? Mm-hmm. So just like using your network that you have. I don't think students sometimes think of their professors as part of their network.
Absolutely.
Or career services as part of their network.
Even your fellow classmates.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Don't know who's sitting next to you. Right.
You know, which brings me back then to the next thing I would recommend would be pre-professional organizations that exist on our campus. I mean, you probably know this number. I don't, but I know it's big. How many student organizations are there?
When I left admissions, there were over 400, and that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and student or campus life night or whatever was just a couple of nights ago. Two nights ago, Sunday. So, you know, that's an opportunity to just be introduced on a very like casual level to like, I mean, that was hundreds of organizations that night.
Right.
And finding, you know, through your major, what the pre-professional organization is. So for us, it's PRSSA, and we have an ad club, too. And in marketing, it's AMA. Mm-hmm. They all have student groups that associate with a parent group. And so really being able to, like, capitalize on the relationship of the mom and parent group. So, like, PRSSA Grand Valley, their mother chapter is West Michigan PRSA. That's a natural introduction. But yet again,
many local chapters of national orgs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then you might have like Dr. Penning in our group, in our major, he serves on a national committee. So then he has access to national board members, and I serve at a regional capacity for the East Central District of that same organization. Mm-hmm. So I have access to, and I just don't think that we take the time again to really flesh out what that looks like and how it could benefit, you know, ourselves when we are students, because I think the whole, like, we're so busy thing gets in the way. And I mean, really, if you think you're busy right now, just wait until you have a baby or, you know, whatever.
It's like, exactly.
That's, and, you know, a whole nother level.
And you know, your comment on just getting out there,
you just
rings true every year. There is a freshman student. It's October right now, and so there is a freshman student who will show up to the career fair in a few weeks and leave with an internship, and they have no idea that they're going to get one.
Right.
But the employers are so impressed that here's a 17, 18, 19 year old freshman, and they're, you know, sometimes they're visibly nervous and scared. But the fact that you get out there is very impressive to a lot of employers because they can train you up on some of the other things.
And I oftentimes will say, it's totally scary, but you should do it anyway.
That's where growth happens.
Exactly. Yeah, feel the fear and kind of do it anyway applies to a lot of situations in life, I think. We just graduated a student. Her name was Courtney. She used to run our podcast through PRSSA, and she was really nervous about that, despite having a recording background for singing. She's like a voice person. And she was like, you know, my dream is to do this or that. And I was like, so why aren't you doing it? And she was like, well, then I'd have to move to Vegas. And I was like, cool. Send me a postcard.
Right.
You know, like just, I mean, there's no better time to take those
100%.
Deep risks than when you have, you
know. Our last episode was risk taking.
Yeah, I know. And it's just
no
so better
important.
Time.
Right.
But season. You know, one thing she said was she used to come to all the West Michigan PRSA luncheons, and she would do our blogging recap for us to publish on the website. And people, I mean, to this day, whatever happened to Courtney? And because they saw her, she was like one of the only students that would show up.
Yep.
She was visible because she's, you know, 20 years at least younger than everybody else in the room. And that went a long way. And she didn't have to do cartwheels and perform kind of Dancing with the Stars routine.
She just showed up.
She just showed up and was exactly who she was. She did, you know, good work. And that went a long way with a lot of those members because, you know, they're going to wonder what happened to her and ask. And then that becomes, if she decides to move back to Michigan, then that becomes another entry point. Like, remember, I was the person. And of course, of course. Everybody remember. Mm-hmm. Of course. So again, just show up.
Love that.
You know, I think that It is scary. And I mean, I'm kind of like a classic omnivore where I'm like intro, extra. Like I love staying at home by myself in my jammies watching some Netflix. But I also, if I'm going to go out to a networking event, I'm probably shutting it down. Yeah. So I kind of have this like these two things. But
wait, what was that word?
Yeah, I was going to ask that again too. An omnivore?
I think it's omnivore.
Oh, I really like that.
I might be that.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're...
You have to have energy and like you get it from two different areas.
Okay, no, I'm not that. I'm the type of person who is a true introvert. But if I have to be at an event, I could turn the switch on and be very well. But I'm just exhausted afterwards.
Okay, got you. You need to go home and recharge.
Yeah. So I don't get energy from it, but I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to call it perform well, but I'm being authentic. Right. I'm being authentic, but I can engage in a social setting.
Totally.
Right.
Totally.
And then you're spent afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got to go take a little nappy. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of people want to be part of the action. Mm-hmm. They maybe don't know how to get to that point of like making it out of their house. But I tell people, you know, just again, just show up. I feel the same way. And I'm, you know, over 40. So.
All right. So as we start wrapping things up, we have a little segment here that we do every episode.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Would You Hire This Intern? So we're going to let Megan get to the fun part.
All right. So I'm going to give you a little scenario, Dr. Wallace, and you're going to tell us your thoughts.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, don't worry. I'm always willing to tell you my thoughts.
Perfect. So your intern has visible tattoos that cover up a substantial portion of
his skin. Wait a second. Is she interviewing right now or is she already my intern?
Already. Your intern.
Okay.
Yes. And it's a he today.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yes. Your intern has visible tattoos that cover up a substantial portion of his skin. Uh-huh. He often covers them with button-ups, but occasionally does not. Would you hire this intern?
Well, I already hired
him. And you can talk through the whole process.
No,
would
they
you hire
for
a
full-time position
after
the
internship?
Well, I mean, this is kind of a trick question, honestly, because like communications industry is a lot
more
liberal.
Flexible.
And,
mm-hmm.
But I will say that I've been in this situation with, you know, a young person. And actually, I mean, it's not just a young person thing. Mm-hmm. People have tattoos that are old, too.
Very true.
Where depending on the client we have served would determine my idea about this. Mm-hmm. So I would hire them because if they're doing good work, I'm hiring them. I don't care like any of that.
Sure.
But there definitely would have to be a conversation had about what's appropriate for what client or what industry or where we might serve.
Mm-hmm.
And depending, I would say, of the content of the tattoos would also.
Yes, because that was one twist I was going to throw
at
you.
We had a positive and a negative.
Yeah. Right. What if one of the tattoos was a giant marijuana leaf?
Yeah. I mean, well, we're kind of at a different place now.
Yeah,
with that.
I guess that's not the best answer, too. Right,
but no, that's okay. I think, you know, it's really about the heart of it all. What I've always practiced is about the client. It's not about us.
Yep.
It doesn't matter that I'm comfortable with my new employee and his giant marijuana leaf tattoo.
Right.
It doesn't matter because it's not about me. It's about my client. So if my client is not comfortable with it or if I think that they may not be comfortable with it, then that's a business decision. That's not a personal decision.
Right.
Because that's about their ethics and their values as an institution or organization and not my own as a business owner or as a hiring manager, let's say. So I mean, I think that one's a pretty easy one for in communications.
Yeah.
Now, if it's like was accounting or something, that might be a totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's in creative areas. Self-expression is something that is what they pay us to do.
Sure. Which probably goes back to the personal brand, right?
Exactly.
Like even the way you dress can be a part of your
brand.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah. It's, you know, what your style is and what your personality is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what your attitude is and your level of enthusiasm, all of those things are part of that same package.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely something to consider. And that's another one of those things. It's like part of your literal permanent record, right? It's like on your skin.
Yeah.
Where you have to decide, you know, will this impact the career that I'm thinking about getting or could it potentially do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are dress codes in certain, you know, in institutions where that is not okay. You know, just like it's almost expected in other types of institutions that if you don't have them, like, why not?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that you have to really consider. That's a permanent decision, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Well, Dr. Wallace, thanks again for all your time.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
And folks, here are a couple of little tips. Again, like we've mentioned it once or twice. I know we talked about it in the intro also, but Career Fair is coming up October 16th. And some of you might be nervous, might have questions. And so there is a section on our website under students and events where you can find some career fair tips. If you're on Pinterest, we have a really, really good board there with a lot of nice advice, from anything to how to talk to employers to things like how you dress. And it's GVSU Careers. At GVSU Careers. And of course, you have things like the resume guide, but to make things easier, just come into our office. Come into our office the week leading up to the career fair in Allendale and in our downtown campus. We'll have walk-in hours, I think all day long, right? Yeah all day long. Just come in. We should have somebody in there, either a student staff or a career advisor that can meet with you and talk about any questions you might have.
Yeah, you're going to have to build those deeper relationships.
Exactly, right? Which could start at a career fair. In. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's key.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you so much, and we will catch up with you all next month.